John Lieb is a close friend of mine. He's a great man. He's the pastor of the Tuttle Crossing Vineyard on the west side of Columbus. He's been a pastor there, I think, close to 40 years. And one thing about John Lieb is he has a tremendous love for the kingdom of God. The whole theology of the kingdom is the foundation of everything John does as a pastor, talking to people about the reign and rule of God, the ministry of Jesus, the message of Jesus. He's a great man, loves the movement of the Holy Spirit also. And this week, he and I were together at a seminar. We did a seminar in Ashland on the theme, Awakening the Unshakable Certainty of Who You Are in Christ. And John was there, as he always is, to help with some of the teaching and the caregiving. And we had a great time together, seeing what God did. By the way, it was a phenomenal seminar. The Lord came and ministered to a lot of people, and I'm always so humbled that I get to be part of something as exciting as this. We had a great time on Friday night. Friday night, we brought all the caregivers here to the farm. Sherry fixed a fantastic dinner, ribs, chicken, salads. It was wonderful. And then passed out ice cream to everyone. About the time everyone was leaving, John and I sat down in our living room, and we simply began to talk about times in our lives when we've experienced a remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit's always moving from gentle whisper to great wind, but we began to talk about our years in ministry. He's been in ministry over 40 years, as I have, when it seemed like the Spirit just broke in and something unusual happened, and that people were profoundly touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I found myself in talking with John getting hungry all over again for a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit. I think there's absolutely fantastic moments when the whisper and wind of the Holy Spirit settles in on a people and all of a sudden great things begin to happen. I saw that happen on Saturday morning as we went to the seminar and we had some more teaching to do, some group time, some ministry time, and wow, the Holy Spirit came and we could all feel Him in the room. He kind of changed the agenda for the day, which is always exciting, something wonderful about living the life interrupted when the Holy Spirit breaks in and begins to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. And it just ignites a greater hunger inside of me for more and more and more. Hunger for the kingdom, it really fulfills that deep longing in our lives to know Jesus better, to love Him more, to follow Him more clearly, to be inspired by the Holy Spirit in life, encouraged by the Holy Spirit in life, to experience the presence that we are, in fact, the people of the presence. And it's really exciting when we know things are happening that are beyond our ability to make happen. My mind went to a quote from Annie Dillard in her book, Teaching a Stone to Talk. I'm going to read it to you. She said these words, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea of what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect," she writes, "does no one believe a word of it?" What Annie Dillard is suggesting, when we invite the Holy Spirit to come, are we aware of the power that we're inviting to be present with us, the power to absolutely change lives? She goes on and writes, "It's madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us into our pews, for the sleeping God may wake someday and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out of our slumber to a place where we will never again return." Wow. There's something very exciting about that, the whole notion that when we invite the presence of God to be in our midst, that we're not just saying those as words, or at least I hope we're not just saying those as words, but we actually want the presence of the Holy Spirit, dove, fire, water, to come into our midst. The Holy Spirit who hovered over creation, who led the children of Israel by cloud and by fire. The Holy Spirit who turned water into blood and caused fire to fall from the sky. The Holy Spirit who parts seas and causes the sun to stand still, that makes demons flee and nations fall down and others rise up. The Holy Spirit who, because of Christ, causes sicknesses to be reversed and the dead even brought to life in the New Testament, who unleashes heavens, who sends angels, and causes the evil one to shudder. The presence of the Holy Spirit is very key in our lives. And I found myself in listening to John and talking about times in the past where we saw these unusual presentations of the Spirit, to deep inside get encouraged and excited and say, I want to be part of that again. Whether it's whisper or wind, a mist or a great flood, I'm very, very interested in it. There's a passage of Scripture that alludes to the presence of the Spirit that comes out of Ezekiel chapter 47. It reads, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. He brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate, and the water was trickling." Pay attention to the word trickling. "As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hands, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and now the water was ankle deep. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off another 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross, because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, 'Son of man, do you see this?'" In that passage in 47, it then goes on to talk about that this water ran out into the sea, and yet it turned salty water pure. And then swarms of living creatures came to live wherever that river would flow, large numbers of fish. And then it went on and said that there were fish of many kinds, and the swamps and marshes, they become fresh. And fruit trees grow on the banks of this river. The leaves never wither. They bear fruit every month. And because the water from the sanctuary flows to them, their fruit will serve as food and their leaves for healing." I really see this as a passage of Scripture about the moving of the Holy Spirit and how God not only desires to pour out His Spirit, but I believe He is pouring out His Spirit all across the world. Yes, sometimes it's a trickle. And when it is, I want to be in there. And sometimes it's a great, great, mighty river that you can't even walk across. And I want to be part of that. And that picture of the stream turning these banks into a place where trees grow and bear fruit every single month, and that the leaves are for the healing of the nations. I just get stirred by this, that it's a picture of an outpouring that God wants to bring. In the book of Habakkuk, it talks about, "I've heard of your deeds. Renew them in our day." Oh, that God may once again, in our lives and in our ministries, make a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our midst, that people are completely transformed. I've always said, I want to be part of these moments where the Holy Spirit comes and you'd have to run out of the room not to be forever changed. I need that change. I need that transformation. And I know that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not simply a literary reality, it is to be a lived out reality, an experiential reality. From something very quiet and deep to that which is like a mighty wind, all for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God, all for the purpose of causing people to move more deeply in their relationship with Christ. Are you hungry for more of the Spirit? I hope you are. I hope even in talking about this, you get excited. You know, God is doing great things all around the world. There's a tremendous book called Miraculous Movements. It details places in the Muslim world where individuals are having signs and wonders of Christ and that they are coming to Jesus because of their experience of the power of God in their lives. Isn't that part of what Acts chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4 were all about? Chapter 1, Jesus telling the disciples, don't move forward into ministry and to gift until the gift the Father has promised pours out upon you. Chapter 2, when they're gathered together, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes into the room, and it says that they see tongues of fire alighting on each other's heads, and they speak in languages they've never learned, and people hear in languages that they didn't know other people could speak. And how many, many came to Christ as a result of that. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit that so fills Peter and John that as they are going to the temple, they see a man who he cannot walk and he asks for alms. And they say, silver and gold we don't have. But then they reach out and they pick him up and say, in the name of Jesus, walk. And the man does walk. He is supernaturally healed and he is leaping and shouting and praising God. And then these disciples are taken to be examined by the religious leaders of the day, and these leaders are amazed. How could such unschooled and ordinary men speak with such authority and such confidence and with such boldness? And then, of course, the story of how they were told to never again speak in the name of Jesus, and they said, we can't do that. Who should we listen to, you, religious leaders, or to God? They knew there was power in the name of Jesus. And then in Acts chapter 4, when you see them saying that it is only the name of Jesus by which people can be saved, and that amazing story toward the end of chapter 4 where they come back to their friends, their community, they tell them what happened, and they break into this time of prayer, asking God to give them a boldness of witness about the name of Jesus. And then it said, all of a sudden, the very room where they were praying began to shake with the power of God. And then I'm always taken aback. What follows that in chapter 4 is it talks about how the people that were following Christ began to share everything in common, and they became witness to the wonderful name of Jesus, but a witness that was backed up by the ministry of God's power. Boy, doesn't that remind us of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when he says, I didn't come to you with persuasive words of wisdom, but I came to you with a demonstration of God's power. And then in 4, which we've talked about before, where it says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but it is a matter of power. And then, of course, what Jesus said, don't you know that the Father wants to give you the Spirit without limit? I've come to believe that God wants more for us than we want more for ourselves. That he actually does, and that if we begin to allow the Spirit that is within us to quicken inside, that all of a sudden we will find ourselves even more hungry, more desperate, more desiring that God would pour out his Spirit upon us. Do you know that one of the fundamental truths of mystical spiritual formation is that it often begins with awakening, where something inside of us comes awake and says, I believe there's more. I want that more. I'm desperate for that more. I want to begin to cry out and pray for that more. Jesus told us, didn't he? It would be good that he went back to heaven because then he would send the Holy Spirit. I had such a nice time, an important time, talking with my friend, John Lieb. If you're ever in Columbus, go to Tuttle Crossing. If you live in Columbus, try that out as a church. It's a great place. But remember this, deep inside of us is the Spirit of the Lord, and he wants us to be ignited by his presence. Oil, wind, water, fire, dove, encompassing us that we might grow deeper in our knowledge of Christ, have a greater love for Christ, and walk the way of Jesus, the way Jesus walked the way. Let me pray for us all. Father in heaven, we come in the strong name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and we ask that you would ignite us at a deeper level with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you for being in our lives. Now we pray that we would learn how to release you from within, that we might walk in your presence, whether it's whisper or wind. There is life for us. There is an empowerment for us. There is an authority that comes with it that we so desperately need to be your witnesses in this world. Lord, I pray for all the people listening that even right now, something quickens inside and they say they want more. More of the Holy Spirit to draw them closer to the Father and more deeply into Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're interested, you can read a book that I wrote on the Holy Spirit. It's called Untamed Christian, Unleashed Church. I hope there's a new excitement within you. Remember, it's always great to pray more, Lord. I'm interested in more. God bless.